By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. So to you who are celebrating your First Communion today, one of the things that the Gospel tells us is that this celebration is not just a celebration for you, or even a celebration for you and your family and friends. It's not even just a celebration for our church community gathered together. But in fact, this is a celebration for God, because God is the one who is glorified by you becoming his disciples, by you continuing the journey that was begun for you at your baptism when your parents brought you to the church, that now as you come and continue your initiation as Christians, as disciples, by receiving communion for the first time, it's God who's being glorified and will continue to be glorified as you remain in him, as you remain people of prayer, as you remain people of service, and as you continue forward in your Christian life, bearing much fruit, bearing fruit for your family and friends, bearing fruit for the people in the world whom you serve and love and show the witness of God to, that's going to give glory to God. And so it's not just us who celebrates today, it's God who celebrates. And for all of us, for us who've received our First Communion maybe many years ago, the question that the Gospel asks us today is, have we remained in God? Have we remained in Jesus as branches on the vine, continuing to bear much fruit? And the Gospel also reminds us that we are not simply statically like branches on the vine, but rather we are branches on the vine that are cared for by the Father. And what the branches are cared for, the reason the branches are cared for, is so that they can bear fruit. The Father, the vine grower in the vineyard, isn't just interested in having a vine that looks nice. He's interested in having a vine that actually bears much fruit. And in order to do that, the branches need to remain connected to the vine, to the life of the vine. Now let me ask those who are making First Communion today, have any of you ever seen a grapevine? Familiar? Maybe a little. Okay, let's try another kind of plant that you might be more familiar with, right? How about a tomato plant? Have we seen tomato plants? Do you grow some of these things? Okay, what's going to happen if I take a branch of the tomato plant and cut it off? Will it still grow tomatoes? No, right? If I cut the branch off the tomato plant, that's it for the tomatoes on that branch. We get nothing. Well, the same thing happens to us. Jesus tells us we're branches on the vine, and the vine is Jesus. And if we're cut off, if we don't have the source of our life in Jesus, if we don't stay rooted, connected to the vine through communion, through prayer, through celebration in the church, we're also not going to be able to bear the fruit that glorifies God. So we need to stay connected to the vine, to the source of life, in order to continue to bear fruit. But even as we stay connected, the Gospel today tells us that there's something more that must happen as well. Jesus says that he is the vine, and his Father, who is the vine grower, will prune the vine so that it may bear more fruit. Will cut away the parts of the vine that do not bear fruit, so that the parts that are left can bear fruit more fully and more readily. If you've been around for the last few weeks as we've gotten deeper into spring, some of our volunteers and the maintenance staff here at Trinity have been clearing out our gardens and getting them ready for spring, cutting out some of the underbrush and the old growth. And there have been days as I've walked over from the rectory to the office where I've had to climb over giant piles of brush that were taken out of the gardens, to the point where I looked at some of them and thought, did we leave anything? Is there anything still in the garden after we've taken out all this brush? But in fact, after we've removed that, there's room now for what's in the gardens to grow, to be beautiful, to show us the beauty that it had that was covered up by some of the old growth. Similarly, if you want grapevines to bear fruit, they have to be pruned. And I don't know how many of you have ever seen a grapevine being pruned, but as I was preparing for this Sunday and this homily, I realized I had never seen a grapevine pruned. And I thought, well, there's probably a way to fix that. So I went to YouTube, and there are, in fact, instructional videos on YouTube to teach you how to prune grapevines. It is a surprisingly aggressive process. If you remember what a grapevine looks like, there's a central trunk, and it has to grow onto a trellis structure because without something to support it, it would just fall over. Grapevines are meant to climb something. There's a central trunk that comes up and is connected to the trellis, and then off that central trunk, you get what they call canes. These are the branches of the vine growing off, and they grow enormously long. They can be 15, 20, 25 feet long, and it's the canes that grow the leaves and eventually grow the bunches of grapes. At the beginning of the spring, the vines have to be pruned. And they get pruned by cutting back nearly all of the canes from the prior year. Almost everything. So the vine grower comes through and snips back until all you're left with really is the central core, the main trunk of the vine, at the very base of the trellis. And all of last year's growth is pulled off and pulled out, 25 feet worth of canes over and over again, until eventually there's a pile that looks bigger than the plant that you left over. If I had to do something like this, I would be terrified that I had killed the vine in the process. There's so much growth that comes off it. And the reason these old branches have to come off is not because they're dead necessarily, but because if you leave them there, there will be so many extra leaves, so much cover and so much energy taken away from the core of the plant that not enough light and not enough energy will reach the new growth, the growth from this year, that is actually going to bear the fruit for this season. And that's why the vine grower has to come through and prune them. The gospel tells us that if we've heard the word of God, we've been pruned. That God has been at work on his vine to prune it so that it will bear much fruit. What does it look like for us to be pruned? And I think that we might be resistant to being pruned. We might particularly be resistant to the idea that someone else is going to do the pruning. Jesus doesn't tell us to prune ourselves. He says the Father comes through and does it. There are so many things that we tend to want to hold on to. Not that those are bad things, not that they are sinful or deadening. The problem, if the metaphor of the pruning of the vine is taken seriously, the problem is that this old growth, the growth that's already borne its fruit, will block the light and take the energy that is meant for the new growth. It has to be cleared out so that the core of the vine, the place where the growth starts from, can send forth new shoots that can bear fruit for this season, for this year. But we tend to want to hold on to the patterns we already know. We look at all this growth and we say, we can't cut all that away. That's where all the life is. But the vine grower knows that the life is in the core of the vine. I remember years ago, about halfway through my formation as a Jesuit, I was assigned to work on a summer retreat program that had been kind of waning in attendance over the years. And I was asked at the conclusion of that summer to write a report and recommend to the province whether or not this program would continue. And based on my experience and some conversations and some prayer, I ended up recommending that the program not continue. But as I wrote that report, I found myself really intention about it because I knew all the good that had been done historically through this program. And I knew that the summer we just had done really good work. There was good stuff here. And I thought, if we cut it off, what's going to replace it? And so I was tempted to hold on to what we had, even though it wasn't bearing fruit as readily, as fully as it once did. To say, no, this is what we have to keep because it's already here and I know how this works. The challenge is to step forward in faith, to trust that the pruning that the Father does will be fruitful because He knows where the new growth is going to come from, rather than holding on to the old growth that, remember, is not sick, it's not diseased, it's not sinful. It's just done bearing its fruit. And it's time for new growth to spring up and bear its fruit in turn. Think about all the things we tend to like to hold on to. Programs that we're comfortable with, patterns of activity where we know how something works, positions or roles that we occupy and we're comfortable in, we want to stay there because we know how it works. Perhaps God is inviting us to say, be calm, be patient, be trusting, and let me do some pruning. Let me clear out some space for the sunlight to come in. Let me clear out some space so that the new energy, the full life that comes from the vine, can burst forth into new growth that will bear fruit for this season. It's very easy for us to get caught in the patterns that we're comfortable with. That can happen to us in our families. It can happen to us at work. It can certainly happen within the life of a parish, where when change is proposed or introduced, we sometimes react fearfully. We say, no, no, no. It's got to be this way. It's been this way for 20 years. Can we also hear the possibility that God is saying, maybe it's time for new growth? Not that the old growth is bad, but it's time to let the sunlight reach growth that hasn't yet come to its fullness. I think there are plenty of situations in which we know this to be true. Times when, as we take on a new role, as we move into a new season, we need to be pruned. Certainly, I know that that happened to me as I entered the Jesuits, and it's happened to me again and again within the Jesuits as I moved through formation. As I've reached a new step, there are things that I've had to let go of. Patterns that no longer made sense, relationships that, as fruitful and wonderful as they were for a time, maybe didn't need to continue. I suspect many of you have experienced that as you've stepped through transitions in your life. Certainly, I expect that you may have experienced that as you got married, that there are some parts of your life before marriage that get pruned away, that you no longer have time for, that you no longer can give the full measure of energy to. Certainly, I know for certain, from talking to people in my own family and talking to my own friends, that this happens when you have children, that other things get pruned away so that the energy can be directed to the new life that's there in the children. It'll happen again as we grow older, and some things get pruned away to make room for the growth that will bear fruit in this season now. It's so easy to react fearfully to the pruning that comes. So easy to react fearfully when the Father walks into the vineyard, pruning shears in hand, ready to cut the vine back to its core. The challenge to us is, where do we find our life? Do we try to hold on to our life out at the edge of the branch? Or are we willing to let our life be found close to the core, close to Jesus, where the new growth starts? If we can find our life there, if we can remain in Jesus the way we're invited to by today's gospel, then the pruning is a joyful thing because it opens us up for new life. It opens us up to bear fruit. And we're reminded again that as we bear fruit, we glorify God. God takes joy. God takes His mission in the world through us when we remain in Him and bear fruit as we are pruned and remain on the vine.